reason, and we've been talking about that throughout this Christmas month, and this will probably be our last message on this, but I hope it'll be an encouragement and a blessing to you. As you're turning there, and right before we read, I do want to just recognize I did not, and the welcome, but it's good to have Miss Kylie here all the way from the state of Hawaii, and she's visiting here, Fabian, the Vasquez family, and it's good to have her with us, and then also Claire and Justin, her husband's going to have them also here with us this morning, and we want to welcome you in a special way. Matthew chapter number 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11, and if you don't have a Bible this morning, there in the notes you should see the whole portion of Scripture, and you can follow along there as we go through the passages this morning. Matthew chapter number 2, verses 1 through 11, and it says like this: Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you that, Father, we're able to have your word this morning and study your word. We thank you, Father, for not only the power that we receive from just hearing your word, but the truth, Father, and we pray that as we study this portion of Scripture, as we study these wise men, I pray that you would help us to understand some truths today that would be applicable in our lives, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers also, that we would follow the example that the wise men have left us, Father, and those truths that we will study this morning would be something that we would be able to take to our life and be able to live out in a practical way. We thank you so much once again for allowing us to be here. Now we ask that you would bless this time. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. Help me to communicate the message that you have placed on my heart, that it would be a message that would be an encouragement and to the edification of the saints this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Story of amazing love. there before the world began. Born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ the everlasting Lord, He shall reign forevermore.
Shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords.
No.
As you study the gospel books of the New Testament, especially the first four books there, you'll find that every book highlights something different about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every book has a little bit of a different focus, if you will. If you read the Gospel of John, you'll find that John is trying to communicate to those reading that portion of Scripture that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is come as the divine Son of God. If you read in the book of Luke, you'll find that Luke sort of focuses on Christ's humanity. It's the portion of Scripture where we find that Jesus was born in a manger, and we find that Luke really focuses on that human side of Jesus Christ as He ministered to us while He was on here on this earth. And then if you read the book of Mark, you'll find that Jesus was a servant, and he really focuses on the fact that Jesus was one that was here to serve, not to be served, but to give His life as a ransom for many. But in the book of Matthew, we find that Matthew really focuses on the fact that Jesus is the King. In fact, you'll start in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1, and he goes through that whole chapter through the lineage of how Jesus came from a royal lineage, from the house of David. And he goes from Adam all the way to Jesus, proving that Jesus is the rightful King of Israel, the King that should be known as the King of all kings. We find that Matthew really focuses on this to show that Jesus, and prove to the Jews that Jesus truly was not only their king as the King of the Jews, but the King of the world. Now, in the book of Matthew, it's interesting that in chapter 2 he begins, and it's the only, area in the whole book of the Bible that shares this story of the wise men. And the whole purpose of the wise men's story is just to prove that these wise men that some believe maybe were kings from the east came to worship the king that they knew to be the true king. And so Matthew highlights to those that were reading this Gospel of Matthew, he was trying to highlight to them that this baby that was born in Bethlehem, this little baby that was maybe obscure to many people, really was and truly was the true King of the Jews. And there was much to learn. If you read this portion, there's much to learn about these wise men, though we may not know where they were from exactly, and we don't know exactly how long it took them to go from where they were in the east to find Jesus. But we do know that there's much to learn from them about their journey and what they did when they found Jesus. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We want to just see how these wise men left everything they had, gave up everything they owned to come and seek after Jesus. This Christmas season, it's all about Jesus. We've been talking about the reason for this season is Jesus and Jesus alone. And what these three wise men did on that very first Christmas is celebrate Christ. You see, because Christ is the reason for Christmas. I know we live in a society that wants to try to take Christ out of Christmas, right? You see all these signs sometimes where they're selling Christmas trees and they have Xmas and then trees. And they don't want to say Christmas. They want to take Christ out of Christmas. But you know, if you take the Lord Jesus Christ out of Christmas, there's nothing that we celebrate. There's no reason to celebrate. You see, Jesus is that reason. But we find in this portion of Scripture that Jesus isn't only the reason to celebrate and for joy, but Jesus is the reason we worship, and He is the person that we worship. We are to do it in a way that is open, in a way that is unashamed. I heard about this man that was named Jack, was going to church one Christmas evening, and as he showed up there to the service, the pastor greeted him and he said, "Jack, it's time that you joined the army of the service of the Lord. Listen, we need to see you here every Sunday, Jack." And Jack looked at the pastor and he said, "Pastor, I'm already in the service of the Lord." And the pastor looked at him and he said, "Well, then why do we only see you on Christmas and on Easter?" And Jack sort of looked around and he leaned in a little bit closer and he said, "It's because I'm in the secret service." Now listen, when we celebrate Christmas, we don't need to do it secretly. We don't need to be ashamed of the name of Jesus, but we need to be proud and have an excitement of and a purpose of what we are, of who we are worshiping and what we are celebrating, and that is Jesus. And we find that here with the wise men. We find that they were men that were looking to celebrate Jesus Himself. So this morning, I want to look at three just distinct characteristics about these wise men that will help us this morning, hopefully, to appreciate and learn more of how we can worship Jesus during this time of Christmas. I want you to notice the first characteristic that we learn about these wise men is that they sought the Savior. If you look there in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 2, as they got to Jerusalem, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" You see, these three wise men were looking for the Savior. They weren't looking for Herod, who was the king at that time. They went to Jerusalem not to look for the prince that was born, but for the king that was born. You see, all they wanted was to look for the Savior, and the reason they were looking for him was, number one, to be in his presence. They simply wanted to be in his presence. They wanted to be where he was at. The Bible says that they left, they were from the east, and some scholars believe they may have been from Saudi Arabia or maybe even further east, at a distance of close to 1,000 miles away from the city of Bethlehem. And God puts a star in the heavens, as they were people that studied the stars, these wise men, and they make this journey seeing the star that was to represent that there was a king that was born, and they follow that star. And I don't know how long it may have took them. It could have taken them a year or two. I don't know. But we know that at some point on that journey, the star ceased from shining. It stopped shining in the sky, and so they go to Jerusalem, and they ask the king Herod there, as it would be a very obvious place to be looking. If you're going to look for someone that's a king, you're going to go to the capital of that kingdom. That's usually where kings are born, usually in the palace of the capital of that kingdom. So they go to Jerusalem and they ask, where is this king that is born, the king of the Jews? And their whole point in doing that was just to be in the presence before him. Their journey had no greater purpose than to be in the presence of the King of Kings. And it's interesting to me that they did not seek profit from him. They were not looking for him just to see what they could get out of him. They were not seeking the Savior just to see what miracle he would do for them or what gifts he could give them. They were seeking him just to merely be in his presence. You know, one of the things that sticks out to me about that aspect of those wise men, is that it challenges me sometimes to ask myself, what is it that I am seeking Jesus for? I know many times in our life we get to a point where if we're not careful, we become very selfish in our worship of the Savior. Sometimes if you're not careful, you can come to church not just to be in Jesus' presence, but to see what he can do for you. See what the church is going to do for you. See what I can get out of it here this trip to church. And see what I can get out of it this Sunday for me. We find that these wise men weren't wise men that were looking to see to get something out of it for themselves. But they were just seeking that Savior. Can I ask you this morning, why have you come this morning? Is it simply to get something, or is it deeper than that? Is the Savior someone that you just love being in his presence? Man, I don't know about you, but I am challenged many times on my motivation for coming to church. You say, well, you're the pastor. You get paid to be here. Now, that cannot be my motivation. That should not be my motivation. Listen, it should not be your motivation as a Christian to say, well, I'm just coming because I have to come. Now, our motivation ought to be, as we come and seek the Savior, to just be in his presence. To understand this morning that who we worship is the King of Kings. I love the boldness, by the way, in which the wise men asked Herod. This is the existing king. And if you know a little bit about the history of Herod, you know that he was a very paranoid man. He killed three at least of his wives. One of them, because he was just suspicious of her, his favorite wife. And then he killed off her sons, and then he killed his nephews, and then 5 days before he died himself, he killed his son, who was going to be heir of the throne, because he was just a little bit frightened of him, even though he was just a baby, a child. But the guy was a maniac. He was crazy. And we find that this man, Herod, now is standing before these wise men from the east, and these wise men proclaim to him boldly. They didn't just say, well, we're here on a secret mission. Maybe you can help us out. They said, boldly, they said, King Herod, I just want you to know, we're looking for that king of the Jews. Really bold about it, but they just simply wanted to be in his presence. But not only did they want to be in the presence of that new king, but secondly, we find that they wanted to worship him. You'll notice there in verse number 2 that he says, and we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Not only did they want to be in his presence, but they didn't want to just sit there in his presence and look at him. They didn't want to marvel at him, at what kind of baby he was. No, they had come with a purpose of worshiping him. They came to worship him. They wanted to exalt his person. They wanted to praise his name. They wanted to adore that baby. You see, it was their Savior. It was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They came with the purpose of worshiping him. Do you know that we come here on Sunday mornings and we sing the songs that we sing and we study the passages of Scripture? Why? So that we can worship him. Our motivation and our purpose for being here this morning is simply to worship him. And by the way, it's interesting that when they found the child, and you will read that in verse 10 and 11, when they found the child, it says they worshiped him. Though Mary the mother was there, not one time do you see that the wise men ever worshiped Mary. They didn't attribute to Mary something that she was not. She was not divine in any way. In fact, she needed a Savior herself and confessed that herself. She said, I do magnify my Savior and my Lord, she said. My soul doth magnify him. And when the wise men find him, they find him to worship him. I ask you this morning once again, why is it that you are here this morning? Is it for the purpose of worshiping him? Roger Babson was an American historian, and he was visiting the president of Argentina many years ago, and he asked the president, or the president asked him first. He said, "You're a student of history, Mr. Roger." He said, "Please tell me, why is it that South America, though it was populated, though it was discovered way before North America, and though it's had unlimited resources, how come it's been slower in progress in civilization and in material prosperity? Why is that, as a study, as a expert in history? Why is it that though we've had a greater start, that we're still behind North America?" And of course, Mr. Babson, seeing that this president had already thought about it quite some time, threw the question back at him, and he said, "Well, Mr. President, why do you think that that is the case?" And the president replied with this. He said, "I think that the explanation lies in the fact that South America was settled by Spaniards who came seeking gold, while North America was settled by pilgrims who came to seek God." And that really gets down to the fact of what we celebrate this morning, what it is that we worship and who it is that we worship. Is it enough for you to just come and be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and worship him? Or do you have to get something materialistic out of it? We find that these wise men had this characteristic that they were seeking the Savior. I like what Jeremiah 29 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all of your heart." Matthew chapter 7, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Jesus said, "If you seek me, ye shall find me." I wonder this morning, what is it that you and I are seeking? What is it that you seek Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday while you're at work? What is it that you seek when you get home? What is it that you seek in your life? I'm here to tell you this morning that the thing that we ought to seek and the person we ought to be seeking is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy to be worshiped this morning. He is worthy to be in the presence of, and I hope and I encourage you, first of all, seek the Savior. But as you think about worshiping, not only do you need to seek the Savior, but the second characteristic that we find of these wise men is that they followed the sign. Look in verse number 9 and verse number 10. It said, "When they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where their young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." We find now, after they've spoken to the King Herod, after they've given him the purpose for why they came, to be in the presence of Christ, to worship him, suddenly the star appears once again. And they rejoice greatly, and they follow that star. You see, that second characteristic was that they followed the sign. They followed what God had revealed to them. Someone has said, "Don't doubt in the night what God showed you in the light." And God has given us his word that we might follow him, that we might follow his precepts and his commandments. The wise men, by faith, saw the star and left everything to follow. To follow that sign that God had placed for them. I like what Luke 7:22 says, "And Jesus answered unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised and to the poor the gospel is preached." John the Baptist came to a point in his life where he was doubting, is Jesus really the King of the Jews? Is he the promised Messiah? And Jesus said to his disciples, "Why don't you just tell them what you've seen and heard? Tell them what I am doing and see if he still has those doubts. See the sign that has been given to reveal who I am." You know, it's sad many times in our life, if we're not careful, we can turn a blind eye to those things that God has given us and revealed to us in our life. Sometimes we feel like we're a little bit smarter than God. Sometimes we feel like we know what's better for me, and I know what's better for my family, and we get away from what God has revealed to us in His Word. Can I encourage you this morning, as you worship Christ, as you worship Him on this special occasion of Christmas, can I encourage you to always follow what He has revealed to you? Always follow the truth of God's Word. Stand on that truth. Don't be ashamed of the truth. Don't be ashamed of what God has given you. In Acts 4:20, those first disciples said, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." A part of worshiping God is following what He has revealed, that obedience part of worship. We find that the wise men were following what God had revealed to them. And then we find this, that they didn't quit. We find that in verse number 1, they said, "That star that we had seen." That's a past tense. That means it was no longer there. And yet when they could no longer see that star, they remembered, hey, that star is because there's a king that was born. We're going to go and find him. They didn't quit just because the star is no longer in the sky. They didn't quit just because the road got a little bit hard and how they thought it was going to be didn't really turn out to be that way. And just because they got to Jerusalem and really nobody knew where this king was going to be born and where he was at, they did not quit just because of that. Can I encourage you throughout the year of 2018 that is coming up, don't quit when things just get a little bit difficult. Don't quit when you don't always see that star. Just maintain your faith and keep moving forward. That's what the wise men did until they found the Savior. Part of our worship and part of our faith is just simply not quitting. It's simply believing and moving forward and moving forward and moving forward. Can I encourage you this morning, just as the wise men sought the Savior, they also followed the sign. They followed that star. The Bible says, and then, right at the right time, right when they thought, all right, I don't know if we're ever going to find him again. They tell us he's in Bethlehem. How are we going to find him in this village of Bethlehem? Just at that time, God once again reveals that star and leads them straight to where the child was at. You know, I don't know what it is in your life. I don't know what star has gone out. But can I encourage you, just stay faithful. Stay doing what God has revealed to you. Stay doing and obeying what God has shown you through His Word. You see, part of what made the wise men find the Savior was that they did not quit. But I want you to notice the last thing that's a characteristic of the wise men, and it's this. That they gave of their supplies. Verse number 11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Can I say that worship also not only involves that obedience, but it involves giving. I want you to notice that they gave of what they had. They were not focused on what they couldn't give, but on what they could give. They weren't saying, well, in a few years, if God blesses me, then I'll give him what I got. No, they were just ready to give what they had and the best of what they had. They were giving what they had. They did not promise that which was not theirs to give, but they give what they had. Can I just remind you this morning that as we give, we worship, and we ought to give what we have. Don't make promises that you cannot keep. Don't give what you do not have. We find that these wise men gave of what they had. And then secondly, they gave of the best of their possessions. We find that one of the wise men, we don't know how many there were, but at least some of these wise men gave gold, which suggests royalty and value. That was the gift due to a king. Gold is the king's color, if you will. Gold is the property of a king. It's what really talks about his kingdom, or what makes it so valuable. We find that they gave him of the best of their possessions. They gave him gold. They gave him what it was worth. Reminds us that Jesus is the king. When they sought him and found him, they worshiped by giving, and they gave gold of what he is due as king. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Can I remind you this morning that as we give, we ought to give him what he is worthy to be given. We're not just to give him what is left over of our check. The Bible says we give the first fruits of what God has blessed us with. We don't give the change like we would give the Salvation Army Santa Clauses out the stores. That's not how we give. And that's not how we give to a king, at least. We find that the wise men gave of the best they had. They gave gold, but then they also gave frankincense, which was a very expensive perfume, I guess, if you could call it that. It suggests, by the way, divinity. Frankincense was what the priests would use as they were making the sacrifices in the temple, as they would do the sacrifice to cover the sins of the nation. They would use frankincense. It was something that would reflect praise and glory. It was something that the priest would do as he gave that sacrifice. It reminds us that the Savior not only is the king, but the Savior is our priest. The high priest, the one that is making intercession for us, and it is the one that we are to give glory and praise to. 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish." One of the characteristics of you and I as a Christian ought to be that we should be like that frankincense, something of a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. You say, how do we do that? Well, we do that through our worship. Well, how do we worship? Through our giving. That's how the wise men worshiped. They gave. Well, how else do we worship? Through obedience. That's how the wise men did it. They obeyed. They followed the star. How do we worship when we seek the Savior? I'm simply saying this morning, we ought to be as that frankincense that was given to the Savior. It ought to remind us, hey, the one that we follow is that high priest. The one that's making intercession for you and for me. The one who came for you and for me. That we might have a relationship with God Almighty once again. Then I want you to notice the third gift was myrrh. And this suggests his death and burial. It was used in embalming people. It was a very expensive practice to have. But it reminds us of the purpose for why the Savior came. He did not come to conquer. He did not come to receive as much gold as he could or frankincense as he could. But he came to pay a price that we could not pay. A penalty that we deserved, which was to die for our sins. He died for us on the cross. Can I just say this morning that as these wise men came and gave of the best of their possessions, it reminds us of who they were giving to. Can I challenge you to be reminded of who you are giving to this morning? You're not just giving to someone that is impersonal. Someone that has not done something for you. No, you're giving to the king. You're giving to the high priest, our high priest. You're giving to our Savior who died for us. I heard of a story of a young boy who's sitting in church and he was watching as the offering plates were being passed and wanted to give something. He reached into his pocket and realized that he had no money. He didn't have any dollar bills. He had no quarters or nickels or dimes, and to his dismay, he saw that offering plate getting closer and closer. But then he realized, though he had nothing monetary to give, an idea came into his mind, and as that offering plate came to him, he just gently put the offering plate on the floor and placed his 2 feet in there and gave himself. You know that as we worship the Savior, not only must we be reminded that he gave himself for us, but that we are to give ourselves to him. We find that in giving of all that we have, it should not just be that which we can do without, but that which we cannot do without. Our life is to be lived for the Savior. This morning, I want to remind you, Jesus is the reason we worship. He's the reason we come on Sunday morning. He's the reason that we obey the truth of God's word. He's the reason that we worship and give what we have. This morning and this Christmas, I hope you'll celebrate it in a way that would honor and glorify him. Oh, I think it's fun and great that we exchange gifts and we ought to. And I think it's fun and great that we sing Christmas carols and we ought to. But let us never forget the whole purpose for why we celebrate. Let us not forget who it is that we celebrate. We celebrate this morning the Savior. Let us learn as we can from these wise men that we are to seek after him, that we are to follow him, that we are to worship him in our giving. I wonder this morning, are you ready to celebrate Christmas? Tonight, many of us will celebrate, and then tomorrow morning, all day, we'll celebrate once again. But I wonder how many of us will celebrate as the wise men did. I wonder how many will wake up once again tomorrow morning and seek him as you read the scriptures. I wonder how many will worship him as we follow through obedience throughout the rest of our day, his word. I wonder how many of us will celebrate by giving of the best that we have, by giving all of ourselves to him. This morning, I want to encourage you, let's celebrate Christmas. I mean, truly celebrate. Let's worship him who is worthy to be worshiped. Let's celebrate Christmas as the Bible has instructed us to celebrate, by seeking him, by following him, by giving of ourselves to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the truth that we find in it, and what a wonderful example that we find in these wise men of really what it means to celebrate. Father, you truly are the reason that we celebrate. And I pray that as we go throughout this day and tomorrow, the days really set apart for the Christmas celebration, I pray that you would help us to truly celebrate in a manner that would glorify and honor you. That we would take time, even with our families, to together seek after you and read your word. That, Father, we would worship you by following and obeying what you have revealed to us. And then, Father, that we would be willing to give of the best that we have, to give of ourselves to you. Father, I pray that this Christmas would not be like every other Christmas. Oh, that there would be something different about it. That, Father, we would truly take time to worship you and bring you glory. Father, I pray that you would speak to every heart this morning. May we honor you, may we glorify you in all that we do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we stand to our feet.